Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org.
Today we're going to be looking at Luke. We're going to start with the story of Jesus in Luke chapter 8. How many of you, let's do a little survey here. How many of you understand, have heard the phrase spiritual growth? Okay, I mean, vote, you know, be proud, people, vote. These aren't hard. Okay, how many of you desire to grow spiritually? Excellent. How many of you have room to grow spiritually? Good. How many of you have ever been frustrated at your lack of spiritual growth? Oh, wow. It's almost the same number of people. I just wish I was talking about something relevant today. Well, we're going to start with a story that's a story that even if you've been a Jesus follower for a long time, gone to church for a long time, I hope you will sit up and listen to what Jesus is telling us in this story. Because it might have something fresh for you today. Even though you may have heard it before, there might be something that you need to remember or something that you'll see a little differently today, okay? So let's pray, and then let's ask God to, and then let's jump into the Word after we ask God to help us to receive it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that spiritual growth is something available to us. And Father, as we look at the words of Jesus and think about growing spiritually today, I pray that each person in this room would remember something or see something or learn something or be convicted about something that will nudge us a little closer to being the people you called us to be. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're going to start right in Luke chapter 8. It says that while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable, this story, okay? He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when Jesus had said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, if you're following along, the next thing that happens is some people probably turn and walk away. Other people just say, what was that all about? His seeds and ground, soil. Is he talking about farming? Is he leading an agricultural movement? What's going on? And some of them followed him down the road a little further and said, oh, why do you tell these stories? And Jesus says, I have two reasons for teaching through stories. The first reason is that if you're not really interested in what I'm here to help you do, you'll get tired of the stories and just leave. The second reason is, if you really want to grow and you really know who I am, you'll follow me and keep asking questions. Jesus says, I tell stories for two reasons. One is so that people who aren't interested in seeing won't be too bothered. And the other reason is that people who are interested in growing and understanding the kingdom will be, their curiosity will pique and they'll follow me and they'll keep asking questions, which is exactly what these people were doing. They follow him down the road and ask him some more questions. And Jesus says to them, you're so blessed because the kingdom is being, you're understanding. And they go, actually, no, that's why we followed you. Because we have no idea what you were talking about. Can you please explain to us what you said? And there's a great spiritual truth there. Do you see that even as Jesus, the way Jesus taught, how did he teach? He taught in a way that those who weren't really interested in spiritual things would just fade out. But those who were interested, they'd keep following him and keep going deeper. There's a real truth to get from that. That Jesus teaches in a way, he calls in a way that requires a little something from you and me. Right? That sometimes when you say, I don't even understand what Jesus is talking about there. Jesus' point is exactly, you want to follow me and ask a few more questions? You know, Jesus teaches in a way that requires our participation. And when we do follow him down the road and say, what did you mean? He's so delighted. And in fact, this is one of the cases in the New Testament where Jesus actually explains the story, because we have a story of people who said, I don't get it, and followed him down the road a little further to say, could you explain that? And so Jesus said, of course, I'm glad you asked. And this is his explanation. This is the meaning of the parable, he says. The seed is the word of God. The seed is what? The word of God. And how many of you just thought about a Bible when you hear the word of God, that phrase, word of God? Because we commonly use the phrase word of God to mean the Bible. And that's fine, because what we're saying when we think of a Bible, what we're saying is we see that book as sacred writings that have inspiration and authority and truth for us. That those scriptures reveal something of God's truth to us, God's purpose for us, God's hope for us, God's promise for us, right? But you know that the word of God, that phrase, the word of God, is much bigger than a book, right? You know that the word of God would still exist even if you didn't have the book, right? There have been Christians through the ages that never had the book, but they had the word. Even in the book itself, what do we read in the Gospel of John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we say the Word of God, we're talking about something much more than words or books. We're talking about the very essence, the very truth, the very being of God, right? And so not just the teachings of Scripture are implied by the idea of the Word of God, but God's hope for you, God's call to you, God's purpose for you, God's role in your life. That's all part of the Word, God's creative Word. In the beginning was the Word, right? Some of you read Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How? He said, let there be, and there was. So even the Word of God isn't just information. It's the very creative power of God, right? So when I want to expand this, the possibility of this, when he says the seed is the Word of God, it's more than a few memory verses. The seed is what God wants to do in your life. It's the power of God. It's the promise of God. It's, in fact, God himself. God doesn't just offer us truth. What does God offer us? Himself. God doesn't just offer us information. He offers us relationship, right? So, Jesus says, the seed is the Word of God. Let's say that together, and let's say it like it's much bigger than a book, okay? The seed is the Word of God. Yeah, excellent, perfect, okay? And then he says, so the seed in my story is representative of God's Word. And then all the different soil I was talking about, that's representative of you. He says, those along the path, or he could have, maybe we should say even the path, the people, the path represents a certain kind of person. The path is a certain kind of soil. Have you seen a path? It's kind of packed in, isn't it? You know, it's kind of hard, right? I mean, if you saw a path that may not be the first place you plant a seed, right? Because you think, oh, that's just going to get eaten up, right? He says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. He says, the path is a certain kind of person, and it's a heart condition. Do you see that? It's a heart condition. The path is sort of a trampled, packed down thing. And the prophet Hosea said, in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, the prophet Hosea says, sow with a view toward righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. And then he says this, break up your fallow ground. Break up that packed ground. Do you know why? Why would the prophet Isaiah say, it's time to seek the Lord, break up that fallow ground? Why? Because packed ground isn't a very receptive place for seed. And so Jesus says, the path is a certain kind of person with a hard heart. And things just swoop in and take it away before the seed even thinks about getting a little toehold in that path. There are external things. He says the devil here, but he talks about the birds. He talks about all kinds of things in this text. The point is that if you're hard-hearted, that seed is vulnerable to being robbed from you, right? And then he goes on. He says those on the rocky ground, or maybe we should say the rocky people, the rocky ground people, are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. When Jesus told the story, the verses earlier, he said they have no moisture. Roots and moisture go together, right? The root is what makes it possible for the plant to receive the nutrient, right? If you damage the roots of a plant, the plant can't grow because it can't take in the moisture, can't take in the good stuff. And Jesus says there are certain people who have rocky ground sort of hearts. They receive the word with joy. That's who Jesus is? Awesome. Oh, I love that worship song. Oh, the people at church are so friendly. I really like this Christian stuff. Yay! Wonderful! Great to be here! But what happens? If there's no root going down, they wither. They wither because you got to have roots to grow. It says they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. You know, it looks like they're growing, but if you go over and just barely take hold of it, it'll come right up because there aren't any good roots. It's just a plant growing with no roots. And Jesus goes on, he says, the seed that fell among the thorns, that stands for a certain kind of person who they might have a receptive heart, but there's all kinds of other things they're receptive to. You know, it's not just the seed that's got a root. There's weeds and thorns and bad stuff that's growing there too, right? Any gardeners here? You know, it's not enough to have You can say, yeah, how's your garden? It's fantastic. Everything's growing. Everything is growing. Somewhere under that nightshade and thistle in the back is a tomato plant. And somewhere under there, you know what I mean? Jesus says there is a certain kind of person who their heart soil is receptive. Not just to the seed, but to everything. They're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. And then he says, but there is a kind of soil, there's a kind of person. The seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good hearts. You see, again, it's a heart condition. It's a heart condition. And what do they do? What describes this good, soft soil? It's receptive, right? They hear it. They really hear it. They take it in. And what else happens? They retain it. You know, that seed gets in there and it sprouts and it starts getting a hold. And they hold on to it. And what else do they do? By persevering, they produce a crop. Persevering, isn't that a beautiful word? You like that word? That's a very good New Testament word that Christians are told often. Persevere. What does that tell you? The very fact that Jesus would say that the people who are producing good fruit, the people where the Word of God is actually getting a root and growing and taking over their lives, that these people are persevering. Terry Matson in the first service, he has a real Bible. He's got a King James Bible. Terry Matson came up and he said, "My Bible says patient." And I said, "Yeah, that word can get translated patient or persevere. Do you see an interface between patient and perseverance? Because if you're going to persevere, it's going to take patience, right? And if you're going to be really patient, you're going to be persevering. They go together. In other words, people who are growing spiritually are not people who think it happens overnight. I planted my garden, tomorrow I'm going to go out and reap a harvest. Is that how it works? No. It takes patience, and you have to persevere. Once you plant that seed, once you receive that seed, you're going to have to water it. You're going to have to tend to it. You're going to have to weed and protect, it doesn't matter if that seed's growing if the bunnies get in, right? So, here are some principles we get from Jesus' story. Spiritual growth is not an automatic thing. Are you with me? Jesus says, spiritual growth is not enough to raise your hand and say, "I want it." Spiritual growth has threats. There are external forces that threaten to rob you of your spiritual growth. Have you noticed this? Are you aware that there are external forces in the world, external forces in your life? And they're not all wicked things. Sometimes it's the tyranny of the good taking over what's the best, right? And so I don't think Jesus, I don't read this parable from Jesus with a fatalistic, deterministic view. I don't think Jesus said, "Let me tell you a story. Some of you are just hard-hearted paths and the seed's just going to bounce off you, so sorry about that." I don't think Jesus was telling this story saying, "Hey, some of you are like rocky ground and you look all joyful today, but I know you're never going to make it." I don't think Jesus was saying that in a deterministic, fatalistic way. Why would Jesus tell such a story? Is it the only reason I can think he would, see, I'm a pastor, so I think, what's his pastoral intent? And I think what Jesus is saying is, you and I should care about the condition of our soil. I think Jesus is telling us, we should want to be noble and good. That we should cultivate, pun intended, we should cultivate our hearts so that we can receive what God is doing. And he's telling us something about God's grace too, isn't he? God doesn't just say, "Oh, that looks rocky, no seed for you. Oh, that looks like there's birds and bunnies around here, no seed for you. Oh, that's rocky, no seed for you." What does Jesus say? He says the seed is everywhere. The seed is falling everywhere. God's truth, God's will, God's power, God's hope, God's promises, they're everywhere. God is indiscriminately making this available everywhere. And I think the reason he's telling us the story is he's saying, seed, there's all kinds of seed that God has sown into your lives. Don't you want to cultivate your life so that you might bear the fruit of the kingdom, that God's word could bear fruit in your lives? And so when I see that word persevering, I like it because that's sort of a want to kind of a word, isn't it? Perseverance is an effort word, is it? It demands effort. It demands time. You don't need to persevere if it doesn't take time. So perseverance tells me that part of my spiritual growth, what Jesus is telling me is there are threats, external and internal. You notice Jesus also said some people, they never have a chance to grow because they worry themselves to death. Or they're so distracted. or they're always too busy. So Jesus is telling me, Dave, think about the kind of soil you are. Don't be overly distracted. Don't let external things rob you. Don't let internal things rob you. And don't forget, it's going to take time and effort to grow. How many of you still want to grow spiritually? Okay? It's going to take your time. It's going to take your effort. And it's going to take your vigilance, because there are things that would rob you. And some of those things are outside of you. It's things that are being done to you. And some of those things are inside you. Misplaced priorities. Failure to really want. So Jesus, I think, is telling us a very important thing here. Spiritual growth is not automatic. Spiritual growth has threats. And spiritual growth requires some effort and participation. Amen? That would be enough, I know. But let me give you a few more suggestions, okay? If you want to grow spiritually, you need to have a conscious desire to grow. And this is something I'd like you to cultivate in your lives. Have you ever got up in the morning and just thought, man, I'm so thirsty, I got to find something to drink? Anybody had that happen? Or when you have this longing for something, like sometimes you wake up and you think, I'm longing for 5 o'clock when I'll be back here after work, right? There's all kinds of things we long for during the day, right? How many of you get up on a Monday morning and think, Lord, I long to grow today. I desire to have spiritual growth in my life today. Because there's a way to be a Christian that's sort of like, I believe a few things and now on with my life. That's not one of the good soils in the story. The good soil people, they wake up and they say, I want to grow. You know, every day in my garden, I look out there and I see those kale plants and they're just saying, rain please, moisture please, right? Gardens, plants that are growing, they want it. They want the sunshine. They reach up to it. They want to grow. They want the moisture. They put down roots, right? Because growing, that's what they're made to do, is to grow. You and I have to have this conscious desire to grow. Let's call it a craving. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you got a taste that God is good? Wonderful. Now cry like a baby if you don't get the milk. Scream bloody murder, even if it's in the middle of the night, if you want to be fed. Grow, grow, grow. Cultivate this craving. And sometimes you have to get rid of toxic cravings. See, I've been going to Weigh and Pray. And I read this book and it talked about good cravings and toxic cravings. And it tells me that some of the garbage I want to eat, the reason I want to is that's a bad pattern. And it's something toxic. It's making me crave something that's actually bad for me. Do we have toxic spiritual cravings? Yes. And so I think it's no different than with food. I think we have to say no to the toxic things, and we have to start cultivating this desire for the stuff that helps us see the world and know what's right. We have to consciously cultivate craving. If you make it through a day where it never even crosses your mind about growing, there's something wrong. You need to want to. You gotta wanna. You gotta wanna. You gotta wanna. You gotta wanna. Crave. Long for it. Cultivate it. And you might have to really intentionally set out to do something and start eating the right things, so to speak, taking in the right things to cultivate a craving for that. Since I've been eating differently with this Weigh and Pray thing, I find myself sometimes thinking, I got to get a giant plate of vegetables. I really do. Do you know why? I've been eating so many of them, I like it. And now I want it. And so even if somebody puts out some of this other stuff that's not so good for me, I just think, oh man, don't we have any good food? Seriously. You got to cultivate the craving for the right things. And once you've tasted it and you crave it, then you have to be committed to give some effort to it. Did you know that I can't make you grow? Of course you know that. Right? What you have to be committed. It's going to take effort on your part to do that. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer says, anyone who lives on milk, see, the last verse we got some milk. Now he says, that's good, milk's fine, but he says, but that's for infants. Anyone who lives on milk is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. There's more things to eat. There's more to add to that diet. There's more growing to be done. He says, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Do you want to mature? That's spiritual growth, right? Well, you can't just want some milky sermons once in a while. You know, the Hebrew writer says, you want to grow, you want to be mature, then dig into something worthwhile. Really put on the feed bag where some important things are being discussed. Grow, stretch, push, go for something deeper. So, a conscious desire, a committed effort, a connected support system. In Ephesians, Paul says to the Christians there, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. That's a mouthful. Look at that. He's saying his desire as a pastor, his desire for that church, for that community is, he says, it's great. You see Jesus as the head. Now it's your job to mature into his body. That's quite a goal, isn't it? Your job to mature into his hands, his feet, his living representative in the world. He says, from him, the whole body, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Did you know that our church, all of us grow when all of us consider ourselves to be part of the building program? Do you hear that? Who is it in this church that is one of your partners in growth? Everybody. Well, that's the Sunday school answer. That's true. I don't want just an idea. I want a name. Who is it? You see, I can look over here. I can see David Haas. If I don't do something as part of my spiritual growth and send him an email, he will be checking in on me going, Burkham, didn't we have a deal? I'm helping you do this in your life. Dave and I have a deal going. I check on his Bible reading, he checks on my exercise, which are both spiritual issues. Both spiritual issues. You know what we've learned? I think, David, can I speak for both of us? I think we've been more consistent than ever before. Right? It's true. Being connected with other people is a way to grow. We also want to be consistent in our participation. This is my move from preaching to meddling point. A lot of you, maybe like me, grew up in a situation where being faithful in your church attendance and faithful to it was more than a good idea. It was a, you know, it was a law, right? I mean, I'm serious. I grew up in a family that the only way you were in church was if you were in the hospital and that you were so sick they wouldn't release you for an hour because somebody would pick you up and carry you into the church. I mean, that's what I grew up with. And I grew up where there were old fellows that were the ushers when you came into church, and they'd have attendance pins, you know, like, I've been faithfully coming to church, haven't missed a Sunday for 23 years, that kind of thing, right? And look it, I'm not interested in laying guilt trips on you. I'm not interested in saying, you got to be there every week and I'm watching and taking it. Look it, you don't have to. I'm not talking about a law. I'm talking about an opportunity. And I'm just going to be straight with you. You raise your hands and you say, I want to grow spiritually, but then you're flaky about what you do. And somewhere between being legalistic and guilt-ridden and flaky and just whatever you feel like today, okay, yeah, let's go to church. Okay, yeah, let's get the kids to Sunday school. Did you know that if you want to do something and grow, you might want to be consistent? You know, I'm going to really jump in and get really meddly here. But, you know, when people say, I don't know, our kids don't want to go to church. They always want to do this or that. Yeah. I wonder what cultivates that kind of attitude toward church. You know, somewhere between it being a guilt-inducing law and a whatever we feel like it type thing, somewhere in there is a land where we might do it because we actually want to. Because we don't just raise our hands to say we want to grow spiritually. We actually are committed to growing spiritually. We understand consistency is important. Consistency is important to growing, folks. And I have to tell you that, listen, I don't have a guilt-inducing, I'm not trying to guilt trip you here at all. I honestly am not. What I'm trying to do is get you to see it's inconsistent to say, I want to grow spiritually, but I have a take-it-or-leave-it attitude about being involved in things. You got to be consistent. You got to be consistent. Right? You know that when it comes to your golf game. You know that when it comes to your job. You know that when it comes to your exercise and your diet. You know, it's not like that's all the real life stuff and then church is this pretend land over here. It's the same way with your spiritual growth. If we're flaky and inconsistent about what we do, we should not be at all surprised that we're not growing. It's the same principle that works in your garden, Jesus says. Try being flaky and inconsistent about your garden. See how you do. You'll have weeds or nothing. Consistency is what keeps us going. The Hebrew writer says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Look at that. That's in the New Testament. In the New Testament, how old is Christianity? And in the New Testament, they had to say, it might be good to be consistent. You might want to say, I'm committed to this. I'm going to make this part of my routine. This is who I am. And then the last thing, church resources. And I won't take long on this, but there are so many things we provide for adults to grow. We got Bible studies Sunday morning, Bible studies Wednesday night, special workshops, special book clubs, special all kinds of ways to grow. You know? The table is set. The seeds, there's buckets of seeds everywhere. We just need some soil. We just need some receptive soil for this seed to grow. And by the way, Jesus never said, make the seeds grow. Jesus said, get the soil ready. I have no doubt that the kingdom of God will bear fruit in your life. I'm not telling you to work hard to grow as a Christian. I'm telling you to work hard to get the field ready so Jesus can do his growing in you. Cut out the distractions. Join some of these things. Get involved. We got stuff for youth. We have stuff for adults. We've got stuff for kids. JJ has been working so hard to work a curriculum so that the kids, if they're consistently here, they're going to get a really great diet over the next, during their high school and junior high years. He's going through a whole planned curriculum that helps those Sunday Bible studies be well-rounded about their lives. He's going to start with the youth on Wednesday nights. This is a neat thing. The youth are going to start on Wednesday nights are going to start following the same teaching series that we're doing on Sundays. Except JJ is going to take something we do on Sunday, he's going to turn it into, and that's what this is where we're going to apply this at high school. He's going to help us take Sundays and bring it into the youth program. Jeff's been working on a curriculum. This is so exciting for the children, where you can get an iPhone app, smartphone app for this. You can get online. You parents can actually see what is coming up next Sunday, and you could actually be the ones reading that passage from the Bible to your kids before they get to church. Instead of reinforcing what we do here, how about introducing it? How about the kids hearing it from mom and dad first? And then we'll, as your church family, reinforce what you're trying to teach. There's a thought. It's a beautiful thing. We've got staff that are working on this. And I want to just remind you that the pastoral staff and elders, this isn't just a job for us. We are here for you. We are resources. I think I can honestly say that in the 5-some years I've been here, not once has a person said, I have a question or I have a need. I want to get together and talk about it. Or can we read this book together? Or can we do a Bible study about this? I've never said no. We will make it happen. You know, so even if all the things, if all the buckets of seed we have, you go, that's great, but here's the seed I really need. Call us. Don't wait for a program. Call us. Say, this is what I'm really needing. Can you help me with that? We'll try. We'll try. This week might be a little bit hairy after preaching this because everybody will... I want to take you up on that meeting. We might have to spread it out a little bit, but we will make it happen because your pastoral staff, your elders, we're committed to helping you grow. The question is, are you committed? Do you want to break up that soil? Get it ready. Make a commitment. Cultivate a conscious desire. Get connected with other people that are helping you and take advantage of all the resources God's given you. Let's pray. Thank you, oh God, for the reminder from the Word that you are actively casting your seed into the world. Make us people that actually want to grow. Help us to cultivate our lives so that we could receive that Word, that we could retain it, and that it would produce in mighty ways in our lives. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.